Okay. Well, welcome everybody to this year that I called Rules of Disengagement. And the reason I wanted to give this year, mostly, to be honest with you, is because it's a topic that I'm very interested in. You read all these articles and the newspaper articles, and you read what's going on, you hear about, you know, Israel, and I found myself sort of floundering. What does Judaism say about these things? What are we supposed to think about them? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? How does Halacha look at it? How does Hashkafa see it? You know, and so sometimes, you know, if you really want to understand something about it, the best way for me as a rabbi to attack an issue is, well, if I have to teach about it, then I'm forced to spend the time in order to understand some of the halakhic ramifications. So my goal is to learn, and maybe I'll be able to share with you what I've learned. Now, in addition, so let me just give you the schedule of how I've mapped out the next 6 weeks. It's a very short class, so I'll give you just the brief map of the 6 weeks. Today we're going to talk about, obviously, is Gaza really part of Israel? Which I think is an issue that really lurks in the back of people's minds. Okay, it's a Gaza Strip, and is it really a part of Israel, Greater Israel, et cetera, et cetera. So today we'll discuss that question, and we'll see there are different sides. You know, my goal here is not necessarily to take a position. That's not my goal. My goal is really to explain the various positions that appear, especially in Israel. I don't think it's my role to make up stock. There are many much greater rabbanim than I who are discussing this issue, but it's to educate and to share information. Next week, we're going to talk about the idea of democracy. Is democracy a legitimate form of government? Does the Torah recognize democracy as a form of government that has the right to dictate the role the playing out of a government in Israel? We'll talk about that. The third week, I'm going to start talking about the halachic issues of disengagement, and there are pretty strong issues that come up. And it's very interesting the way you see the way Rabbanim pull apart this issue. And one of the benefits of the internet today is, especially nowadays, so most of the Rabbanim that are writing on these things are doing it on a computer, and they're sending it on email. So I get a lot of, you know, there are sites in Israel which are unbelievable sites where Israelis basically ask a question, and then real big Rabbanim answer the question. You know, there's a site called Moreshet, there's another site called Moriah, in Hebrew, and it's just all archived. So you can do a search and get great answers to questions, and I'll share one of them with you today. On day 23rd, which is the fourth week, it just so happened that it came out, very fortunately, that a rav of mine, who is also the Rosh Yeshiva of Shivat Shalavim, is going to be here. Rav Yaakovson, Rav Chesed Yaakovson, is the Rosh Yeshiva of Shivat Shalavim, so I hope to welcome him here. I asked his assistant, if he would come and talk. And he said, whatever I want. And I'm encouraging people to come to hear Rav Yaakovson, who is a tremendous Talmid Chacham and a personal Rav of mine. And I'm going to ask him, because he is the Rosh Yeshiva of a Hezbollah Yeshiva. So there is nobody better to ask the issue of Nu Tachas, what are you telling your soldiers? What are you telling your Talmidim? You know, when it push comes to shove. Monday night, actually. It works out on the Monday night. No, he's not going to be over Shabbos. He's coming to Monday afternoon, leaving Tuesday morning. May 23rd. Yeah. Okay. The last one, no, May 5th, May 30th, I'm going to do a second shiur on the halachos. And then on June 6th, there's a video of a shiur given by Rav Herschel Schechter in New York on this issue of disengagement. Rabbi Meyerfeld, Eli Meyerfeld, he put up this video conferencing center. So Rav Schechter, when he gave the shiur before Pesach, it was sent out over satellite. So Rabbi Meyerfeld recorded it for me. So we'll hopefully watch the shiur. Rav Schechter can go very fast, so maybe we'll watch it. I'll be able to sort of stop it and kind of explain what's going on if people have difficulty. What? You put it in that video thing. Okay. Question number one. Is Gaza really part of Israel? So I had a couple of, I sometimes gave some introductory questions. Do you believe that the Sinai Peninsula, which was returned to Egypt over 20 years ago, now it's, I think, over 30 years ago, isn't it? 77, was part of the land of Israel. And if you do believe that, why? Anyone? Eddie, you're always good for an answer. I was too young to remember it. Do you remember it? When they gave back Yamit. Yeah. Were you there then, Miriam?
No. They interrupted at that time.
You were there? So, what was going on? I remember
when Sadat came.
Yeah.
I was in Israel when Sadat came and Jimmy Carter came at the same time because we were having a conference there and they kicked us out of the Hinton Hotel. We had to remove the conference. The people were staying in Tel Aviv, but everybody came into Yerushalayim.
Uh-huh. So the question is, did people, meaning when Yamik came along, when they gave back, there was only one settlement in the Sinai.
It was Harper.
Okay, but did people think, do you believe that that was part of the land of Israel?
Yeah.
Time says yes.
I don't think it was a big deal. They were hoping for peace.
That's right.
Finally, that Egypt had recognized that, and the president came, that there was no, I don't think there was any outcry.
But that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you is the Sinai part of Israel? Meaning, there's one different thing. There's two different things. Let's say Israel were to conquer the island of Cyprus, you know, in a battle or whatever. Let's say they bought it, for all I know. Right? And then, as part of a peace concession, they decided, you know what, we're going to give back the land of Cyprus. Would there be an uproar about Cyprus? Where people say, oh, you can't give back the land of Cyprus. How could you do that? This is part of Eretz Israel. Would people complain about that? No. They wouldn't care. It's Cyprus. What?
I would complain.
Gravity would complain. But I'm asking you, you would complain because Israel has the right to be a sovereign nation, blah, blah, blah. Right. But I'm asking you from a halachic point of view, not an international point of view. From an international point of view, nobody ever recognizes any territorial gains that Israel makes ever anyway. Right? So our concern is from a Judaic law point of view.
Said, no, it was halachically okay to do it because it was not part of Eretz Israel.
Uh-huh.
It was described in the Torah. And therefore, the heartbreak was the fact that it was a beautiful settlement and that there were so many people there and they were beginning to settle in there.
Right.
And to give something back was a terrible thing. But they were willing to do it for the sake of peace.
Who was willing to do it? The people of Yamit?
They were fighting and cussing and screaming.
Right.
Despite how much money they were given, despite what kind of restitution.
They destroyed it. Didn't they destroy Yamit? They leveled it to the ground.
But they didn't completely level it. They were still building. They didn't level the Beit HaMikdash.
Beit Knesset.
Beit Knesset.
So what is part of the land of Israel? So that's a good question. What is Israel? Well, yeah, you have to know what is Israel. So how would you know what is the land of Israel? Let's see. Well, the problem is, though, there are a number of descriptions of the boundaries of the land of Israel. A large number of them. Says the Torah. Vayomer la Avram. Yadoa teida ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. You should know that your children will be staying in the land that does not belong to them. Va'avadum v'inu osam arvam yashanan. They'll be enslaved for 400 years. Right? There are more sheets lying around somewhere. Doesn't somebody? I got one. And here you go. Okay. And then they're going to go out with great wealth. We've spoken about that a little bit. The fourth generation will return. Okay. Because the sin of the Amori is not concluded until then. Came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning torch passed between those pieces. It's called the Brit Bein Habitarim, the covenant of between the pieces, because God, as it were, passed to Abraham between the animal that they sliced in two somehow, and that was the way the covenant was made. On that day, Karat Hashem et Abraham Brit Leimor, God established a covenant saying, I'm going to give your descendants this land. What's the land? Minahar Mitzrayim ad Nahar Hagadol Nahar Prat. From the Egyptian river, which is the Nile, until the Nahar Hagadol Nahar Prat. Nahar Prat is the Euphrates River. So what is the land of Israel? From Egypt, from the Nile, all the way to the Euphrates. And then he lists the land, Hakini, Akhmizi, Akanmoni, Hachiti, Aprizi, Arifaim, all of those lands. So I even did you the favor of drawing you a map. Okay, you look like next to there. What? Yeah, you're not kidding. So if you go even from, and the Euphrates, by the way, I was very machmir. And if you wanted to say that it went from to the Euphrates, how far down the Euphrates?
All of Iraq. Half of Iraq.
Yeah.
No, the whole thing, right. We'll take it all. You know, how far down into the Nile? Where do you draw the line? Now, historically, we have never controlled all of that area. The Jewish people has never, ever controlled that entire area.
Different parts of different times.
Right, but it has never been contiguous.
David HaMelech is the first time you think of the
Nile. David HaMelech didn't even get close.
Not to the Nile.
Not David HaMelech, not even close. Maybe Shlomo started extending. But David, not even close. Now, interestingly enough, when did the Jewish people conquer until the Nile? All the way until the Nile, almost.
Nope. 73.
In 1973, I know this because I'm reading these fascinating Yom Kippur war books. Israel, when Egypt crossed the Suez Canal, so in the counterattack, Israel recrossed the Suez Canal and attacked almost until, well in, past the Suez Canal towards the Nile River. Well in. And that's the farthest, I think, in history that a Jewish army has ever gotten towards Egypt. And to be honest with you, the only reason the Israelis stopped is because they wanted to. Because politically, there was nothing between them and Cairo, really. You know, because Egypt had totally botched the war. All right, anyway, so just show what Israel is, what Israel is promised in the Torah. Now, does that mean that anything that's conquered then belongs to the land of Israel? Does that mean anything? So therefore, Yamit, where's Yamit? Yamit is right down in the middle of in the middle of the Sinai Peninsula. So Yamit is right there, right? So that would make it part of the land of Israel. There's only one problem. The problem is the fact that God promised it to Abraham Avinu doesn't necessarily guarantee that is going to become or be considered part of the land of Israel. Abraham promised it.
Why not?
What?
Why not?
What makes something Israel?
You have to possess it.
Right? A promise isn't ownership. So now, we believe, we're supposed to believe, somehow, one day, this is what the map is going to look like. Right? We're supposed to believe that. I hope. God promised it to Abraham Avinu. So, it's going to happen. But it hasn't happened until now. So what is Israel then? Something. What did you say, Cheryl? How did you define it?
You have to be in possession of it.
You have to be in possession of it. So now we come up to the very interesting question of what happens if you did possess it, but then didn't. Well, actually, that's what we'll go to Bamidbar. Another description. The problem with the Torah is that the description of the borders is there's a lot of descriptions of borders. So it's hard to know which is which. So this is actually from Bamidbar. When the Jewish people went actually to go conquer the actual land, so God delineated the borders that they were going to conquer. This is the land that you're going to get as an inheritance, the land of Canaan according to her borders. Negev is from the south, from Midbar Tzin. The southern border is the edge of Yam HaMelech, Kedma, Kedem, eastward. Okay, so the southeast tip of the land of Israel in the inheritance is?
Shorter than what we got now.
Much.
Much shorter.
Much shorter.
Yeah.
Right?
Is the
Dead Sea. And you're like, what? Okay. So from there, when it went from the Negev, it goes up to Akrabim. The border so then turned to pass at the south of Akrabim steps, as a pass towards Shin with its southernmost point at Kadesh Barnea, and then extend to Chasar Adar and reach as far as Atzmon. Okay, it's really, really good that the Living Bible, who was it, Rabbi Kaplan, right, put in the map, because otherwise I would never be able to do this, but you see, it's not that far. Is it that far? Where's
where? You get Lebanon.
What?
You get Lebanon.
Oh, you get Lebanon.
North.
What?
Much further north.
Right. Okay. Right. And then the western band. Gvul Yam Bayal. A second. Gvul Yam Bayal Lechem Agol Hagadol. Gvul Zei Yalechem Gvul Yam. Then the Mediterranean Sea. Zei Yalechem Gvul Tzafon Men Yam Agadol Titeu Lechem Hor Hahar. Okay. So go to Hor. Hor Hahar Tilo Avo Chamas. So you read that. You can see. You look at the map. You'll see. You basically get all of Lebanon almost up into, how far does it go?
Some of
Syria or Turkey even, almost to Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty darn far.
Yeah, the best part.
Right, so if you look and compare a map on page 1, the map of page 2, which one is northern? They're close, aren't they pretty much the same?
This is a little further south.
Which one is further south?
The map that was promised.
Okay. So everyone can agree. So, but what happened to the promised land, Avraham Avinu? If I were the Jewish people, I would say to God, God, the borders are not, forget which is it, the borders that you gave us are nice, but
it's not what you said.
Well, it's not what you said. Didn't you promise our forefather Abraham all, what about the south? What about the whole Egypt? So what's the answer?
You don't put the...
What?
You're right.
Right. The answer is, I can't give it to you until you're ready for it. Sure, I promised that to Abraham Avinu. But even the land of Israel, the problem was, what was the big problem that we learned in the Navi with the land that they actually got?
Other people
living there, they couldn't conquer it.
They had to be worthy of conquering it.
Right, they had to A, be worthy of conquering it, and B, they had to be militarily ready to conquer it. The problem with the land that they inhabited was, by the time they got to conquering it, they didn't really feel like finishing the job. And the problem with not finishing the job is, all the outside influences. Right. So it's not just the promise. You have to be able to control it. It has to be contiguous. You have to have borders. Okay. So all that, that's enough for the Tanakh part. Please turn to page 3. We skip all the way. Actually, you know what? I want to go to page 4. Page 4. Let's start with the Rambam. Says the Rambam. There's a very, very famous Rambam in the Halachos of Trumos and Masros. Because when it comes to deciding what's land of Israel and what's not, the most important ramification is what's called Mitzvos Hatzeluyos Ba'aretz. Mitzvos Hatzeluyos Ba'aretz means land-bound, land-dependent mitzvos. So, let's say, for example, I planted an apple tree in a certain place. And I need to know, can I eat from my apple tree, or do I have to take off Trumos and Masros? What's the difference? Oh, it's only a D'oraisa, right? It's a huge, huge, very important thing. Very, very severe punishment for a person who does not take off the Trumos and the Masros. Very, very severe thing. So you got to know what's Israel and what's not. And once you know, once you define what's Israel, so we'll see, once I know that, then that's how I'm going to find the rest of Israel, right? Well, that would make sense. Do we all agree? So whatever is Israel for the mitzvos, as we'll see in the Rambam. Says the Rambam. Eretz Yisrael ha'amura b'chol makom, hi ba'arsot shekivshan melech Yisrael, o navi midat rov Yisrael. What is the land of Israel? The land of Israel are the lands that a king or a prophet conquered with the knowledge of a majority of the Israeli people. V'zeho nikra kivush rabim. And that's called the conquering of the many, of the rabim, of the community. Aval yachid miYisrael, but an individual, o mishpacha, o shevet, or a family, or a tribe, shahalchu v'kafshu la'atzmam. Right? And they went and conquered for themselves, as the Rambam says. Makom afilu min ha'aretz shenitna la'Avraham. Even if it is in the land, in the contiguous borders, that Abraham Avinu got, eino nikra Eretz Yisrael, kedei sheyinhagu ba kol ha'mitzvot. So let's say the Jewish army, the Israeli army, did not conquer Yamit. But, you know, the Stocker family decided that they're going to go settle, right, you're going to go settle, I don't know, you're going to go settle Wadi El Arish. Okay? Wadi El Stocker, we're going to call it. Okay? And you're going to have the whole Stocker clan and build a whole settlement. So you petition the government and you say, you know, I want to, you say, do I have to take off Trumos and Masros? Says the Rambam, no. Even though God promised to Avraham Avinu, even though it's in the border, in the map that we drew on page 1, it's still not. Why? Because you have to conquer it. It has to be conquered with the knowledge of the majority of the Jewish people. And because of this, Chilek Yehoshua obeyed, you know, Kol Eretz Yisrael Shvatim. Yehoshua and his court divided all the land of Israel to the tribes. Af al pi shelo nich b'sha. even though it wasn't conquered, כדי שלא יהיה כיבוש יחיד, okay, so that it wouldn't be an individual conquering, כשיעלה כל שבט ושבט ויכבוש חלקו. Meaning, each tribe said, okay, you're a tribe of Binyamin. Binyamin, you go conquer your land. If Binyamin went on as an individual tribe and conquered its land alone, it would not be considered part of Eretz Israel. Even Yerushalayim. If Binyamin went by itself alone and conquered Yerushalayim, it would not be considered part of Israel. The only reason it was considered part of Israel was because it had the stamp of approval of the Beit Din, of the community institution. Because Yahushua said, you, Binyamin, conquer it for the rest of us. It was a community organization.
Each Shevet, if they were to conquer land,
yes,
would that land would then still be considered for the purpose of halacha?
Only that was approved. But let's say, for example, a Shevet said, you know, this is great land. Oh, I see those people over there. That wasn't approved. If they would go conquer it,
it
would not have the status of the land of Israel.
So before they conquered, or before they went out to fight, they would have to go get the approval of the Beit Din?
No.
The Beit Din would have to approve it afterwards?
No.
Not necessarily.
Only if they wanted it to be part of Eretz Yisrael. Now give me a good reason why they wouldn't want it to be part of Eretz Yisrael.
So we have to take more
money. You got it. Shemitah, Shulis and Masros. Yeah, life is good. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, there's a lot of benefits to not being part of the land of Israel. Right? Second day of Yom Tov, not second day of Yom Tov.
But then you don't have the protection of Israel.
What does that mean?
Well, the protection of God. They're talking about the Israeli army or whatever at that time.
No, you're your army. You're the army of the tribe of Binyamin. First of all, it wasn't armies. Like, think about American Revolution. Militias. Right? So your tribe, and they did this all the time. They went and conquered. Right? We need more land. You know, if they were doing well, they went and conquered. So what does that mean? I think Eddie's bringing up a good point. But you mean the protection of Israel of the army? Or the protection of
God?
So now that's the question. Let's say Eddie's army, right? We'll call it the army of Eddie. Decides that they're going to go conquer a contiguous piece without the permission of the Beit Din. It's in the borders that was promised to Abraham Avinu. But according to Rambam's definition, it was not approved by the Beit Din, by the court. So does Eddie get the, how do you want to call it, Eddie? The
right.
Spiritual rights of the protection of the land of Israel? Why no?
Because he's doing it without the approval of the court.
Uh-huh.
And, even if he's doing it as an individual.
So therefore, you're saying, according to the Rambam,
It's not.
It's very nice. You not control a lot of land. You're powerful. You're a warlord. But it's not Israel. Nothing at all? Nothing? Zero?
Well, you can have a little piece of land for yourself.
Sure.
But it's
not Israel for anything.
Right.
For anything. Rambam would agree. Okay, that seems exactly what the Rambam says. There's one definition, according to the Rambam, of Eretz Yisrael. What's that definition? Mitzvahs. If you could do a mitzvah there, then it's Israel. If you can't do a mitzvah there, then it's not Israel. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's no in-between. There's no spiritual protection, etc., etc., etc. Says the next important halacha is halacha hey. Kol shechziku ole mitzrayim, v'nitkadesh kedusha rishona. When the people from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, when they conquered their land, when they hechziku, chabat hachazaka, when they held onto, when they grabbed onto their land, kevan shegalu, when they were exiled, batla kedushatan, the holiness of the land of Israel was gone. It's a very, very famous machloket, but this is a psak halacha that's accepted. It says the Rambam's psak is accepted. Kedusha rishona, says the Gemara, kedusha l'sa'ata. It was a temporary kedusha. And when the Jewish people left, then it was gone. That's why he says, why? Shekedusha rishona, because this holiness, this first holiness, l'fi shahaita mipnei hakibush bilvad. The only reason it was holy was because it was conquered. Kidsha l'sha'ata, v'lo kidsha l'atid lavo. It was holy for its own time, excuse me, but not for the future. It was a temporary sanctification. Kevan sha'alu b'nei ha'golah. But when the Jewish people, this was a surprise to some people, when they came back a second time, when they rebuilt the land, when Ezra returned, they did not conquer the land. Why did they get the land a second time? Somebody know? How'd they get the land? Rabbi?
They were willing to that.
That's right, they were given permission. Right? The king, Koresh, said to them, go ahead, go take it. Enjoy. When they came back the second time, and they grabbed onto part of the land, they sanctified it with a second sanctification. So the thing that they conquered by force, the land they conquered by force, was a temporary sanctification, temporary holiness. But the land that they conquered, that they accepted, that they were given permission to settle, and they inhabited, that's permanent holiness. And that defined the land of Israel. So that is halacha, according to the Rambam, a very well-known halacha. Okay, so far we have the opinion of the Rambam, which says that the definition of Israel is...
where you can do mitzvah.
And what's the definition of that? What's the definition of that?
It has to be permission. It has to be a permission from the Beit Din.
Okay, originally, but that was gone.
Right.
What about later on?
The land they came back to.
Land that they came back to and settled
after
the times of Ezra. Okay, so now here's my question: is Gaza in that map?
No.
What?
Sure, there's not much in that map, is there?
No.
It's basically Judah Shomron is that map.
Correct.
The entire area that they don't want us to have today is that map.
Correct.
The irony
of it really is that the vast majority of the land of Israel, the historic land of Israel, the holy land of Israel, is really the land of Israel that is supposed to be the Palestinian state. I mean, they call it, if you go with these tour guides, the Yudah and Shomron is called Eretz HaTanach. The land of the Bible, because that's really where the history of the Jewish people was. There were no Jews in Tel Aviv, and no Jews in, right. Well, not even, but even after that, later on, all these border towns were not necessarily considered Jewish towns per se. All the Jews settled farther in, and as you go up north, you see the Mishnah towns and the Gemara towns, from those times. So I was not on the map. Surprise, surprise. So what do you do with that? What? Oh, so obviously, I just read you the Rambam. Let's read on. Okay. What?
What does that mean? That's permissive.
That
does not for possession.
What did the Rambam say?
Permissive.
Let's see. Go back to page 3.
Okay.
What's the difference between missus and possession? Says the Mishnah, Gemara in Gittin. It's the very first Mishnah in Gittin. So the Jews in Israel had a following problem. When you come to writing a get, it has to be written, Lishma, right? L'shem Gerushin. It has to be written specifically for that particular husband, for that particular wife, for the intent of divorce. So if for some reason I was writing up, I was practicing, and I printed one up on my computer, and what do you know? The names are right, and some guy said, I feel like divorcing my wife. And, lo and behold, that's not good enough. Moreover, the rabbis were afraid. They were very concerned that in the communities, the outlying communities, people did not have sufficient knowledge in order to write the proper gittin. So when a get was brought, the decree was made that when a get was brought from outside the land of Israel, the agent who brought it had to say the following. He had to say, b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam, that it was written in front of me, and it was signed in front of me. That I was there, I saw it, I know that it was done the proper way. Okay? Fine. Yes. He had to be... Right. That's exactly what he had to do. He had to notarize it and confirm that it was done in the proper way. Says Mishnah, maybe get me the Medina Tayyam. Tzarech shiyomar, b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. He has to say, it was written before me, and it was signed before me. Ramliel says, Afa maybe min ha-rekem u min ha-cheger, even from this place called Rekem and Cheger. Okay? If you see on the map next to you, that's the courtesy of Rabbi Steinsaltz, Cheger is right above Beersheba. Rekem, obviously they inhabited somewhere to the south of Yam HaMelech. Anybody know where Rekem is now? What the city is Rekem today? Right around there? No. Nope. There's a beautiful city called Arad. What?
So, yeah.
Arad is south of the Dead Sea. It's not that far south.
Yeah.
But Arad is, a lot of people, by the way, they retire to Arad. It's a big retirement community because the air is so dry from the Dead Sea that a lot of people who have allergies or who have certain kinds of pains and aches, when they go to the air in Arad, they found a lot of that goes away. So actually, interestingly enough, that's one of the places where the Hasidim took us, where the Gera Hasidim took us, that the Gera has a yeshiva there, and they built an emergency room there, because from Arad to Beersheba is too far. It's a long trip. It was very interesting. Actually, I think Arad is much more, a little bit north of that, very north of that. Anyway, okay. Even from Kfar Ludim to Lud, which is a very short distance. Okay? And you have to, someone who brings from Medina Tayam. Let's skip a little bit more. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. See where it says Rabbi Yehuda right above that line? Rabbi Yehuda above that line, the line in the middle? So the Gemara now is going to give, the Mishnah gives a little geography lesson. What's in Israel and what's not in Israel? Rabbi Yehuda says, Rekem the Mizrach, from Rekem east, the Rekem come Mizrach, and Rekem is out, like the east. The Ashkelon the Darom, Ashkelon south, the Ashkelon Kadarom. Ashkelon is not part of the land of Israel. Right? Where is Ashkelon today? Anybody know where Ashkelon is today? Ashkelon is the last Israeli city above the Gaza Strip. Okay? So what's south of Ashkelon? And according to the language of the Mishnah, south of Ashkelon, in the language of the Mishnah, the times of the Mishnah, after the second conquering, is
not
Israel. Okay, we go on. The Akko Latzafon, from Akko north, the Akko Katzafon. And Akko is also like the north. Okay, so all these things, Akko is literally like land of Israel. So is Machlokas, is Akko like the north, is Akko not like the north? Fine. Okay, so now if you look at Tosfot, look at page 4, please, for a minute. Tosfot's on the top of page 4. Hiksha Rabbeinu Tam. Ask Rabbeinu Tam. So the Tosfot asked the following question: the Ashkelon, the Eretz Yisraeli. What the heck? Don't tell me Ashkelon was not part of the land of Israel, because I know Ashkelon was. If you just have the book in Yichtiv Yehoshua, it's written in the book of Yehoshua. Zod ha'aretz ha'nisheret, this is a land that was remained in the Jewish hands. Ha'ashdodi, ha'ashkeloni, ukti, the people of Israel, I fell to the Jewish people in Achala, kasher tziviticha, as I've commanded you. V'achar kein lakdua, and afterwards I conquered it, it says in Shoftim, v'yokod Yehuda et Azah, et Ashkelon, that dvula. So even Azah and Ashkelon were once Jewish communities. So what are you telling me, that Ashkelon is not part of the land of Israel? Omer Rabbeinu Tam, says Rabbeinu Tam, well, what's the answer? The Ole Babel lo kivshuha. Remember what the Rambam said. Said the Rambam, very nice, that it was once part of the land of Israel. But the fact that it was originally part of the land of Israel doesn't make it permanent. The only way it could permanently be part of the land of Israel is if they had conquered it a second time, in Babylonian times. Kid Amar Parakam Dehulin, Gabe Beitshan. And Beitan, Harbe Krachim Kivshum Ole Mitzrayim, many villages they had conquered in the times of Egypt, Molo Kivshum Ole Babel. But in times of Babel, Babylonia, they did not conquer it. Ulakach, Ein Tamidei Chachamim Mitzrayim Sham, and therefore the Tamidei Chachamim are not there, Ein Batei Dinim Kavuim Sham, there are no Batei Dinim, there are no courts, and that's why when somebody comes from there, they have to say, B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta, for the whole get thing. Skip down, next paragraph. The Akko, okay, he says, what about Abagab the Kishua Ole Babel? So why is Akko out even though they conquered it? Kida Amar Besok Subo, Rabbi Abba Haminashe Kipi to Akko, Rabbi Abba, when he got to Akko, Akko was a border town, he would kiss the stones. So now don't get me wrong, but if it was still outside, he ain't going to kiss the stones. Uferg Misha Achzu, which says later on, Parach Lememo de Akko Lab Meret Yisraeli. Could that be? Akko was not part of Israel. Kiyavu miftere rabbanim mehadadi ba'akko. Havu miftere mehadadi. When the rabbis would leave each other, when the rabbis were traveling back to Babylonia, they would accompany them. They weren't just accompanying them to the door. They would travel with them all the way to Akko. So Akko must have been a part of Eretz Yisrael. Which is Ashur Latzeit me Eretz Yisrael v'chutzlaris. Imagine that. So like, you know, some delegation comes from, like we do today in a sense. Some delegation comes from America. Right, so we meet the rabbis and they meet us in Ben Gurion, and when we leave, the whole delegation travels to the airport, and then they say goodbye to us because they're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. I don't know why we are, but they're not. Okay, anyway. So how can the Mishnah say that Akko was not part of the land of Israel? Last line in the Tosfos. Amar Rabbeinu Tam, so Rabbeinu Tam said, the lo kasha midi, not a problem. The Akko haita chetzia b'aretz, the chetzia b'chutz la'aretz. Kedemuchach b'Yerushalmi, b'hacha mayri, the otza tzadish b'chutz la'aretz. Akko was half, it was like a border town. Half of Akko was in the land of Israel, half of Akko was not in the land of Israel, and that was it. But what we see from this Tosfot is the same thing we saw from the Rambam. What decides what is Israel and what is not Israel? Straight up. Did they conquer it in the times of Babylonia? Did they, re-inhabit it, Kishua Ole Babel, or not? And according to the Rambam again, what decides whether it's not Israel or not? Are the mitzvot hatzuluyot v'aretz, are the Jewish mitzvot, are they practiced in that place? If not, it's not Israel. There's only one problem. So in our discussion, so I'm leaving aside those four settlements in, where are the four settlements? In the Shomron. I'm leaving those aside. Because I don't know why we should leave them aside. But so what's up with the problem? Why is everybody going crazy? It's not part of Israel. Why the hell are we next? So, first of all, so maybe they settled there because they were encouraged to by the government. Because it was important, and they were hoodwinked, and we understand why they're upset. But we are here to understand halachically, judaically. What are they talking about? What are they so angry about?
Is there a time limit of when this land has to be conquered?
Yeah, Ole Babel, Babylonia. That was just conquered by the Ole Babel. Meaning, even if we conquer it now, we don't have the ability to reestablish what's going to be land of Israel. It may be Midrabana.
Do we have a map of Ole Babel?
I think a good map would be, probably, this map. The map that the Gemara gives you, the Mishnah map. They have more exact maps, but, Beersheba's not on the list.
Beersheba's right
there. Eilat is not on the list, right? Beersheba's out.
Ashkelon is out.
And actually, if you draw this map more carefully, this is only for, I'm sure there are maps.
But Ashkelon is in.
What?
Like
yeah, that was good. That's it.
Right here.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that even
if
you get permission to go back?
Yeah.
Because they got permission in Babylon to go back
and
conquer. Well, in 1948, they got permission to go back and conquer. Whatever they conquer.
Everybody agrees that we can't reestablish the Oraita Torah mandated mitzvahs like Shemitah. It might be the Rabbana, but the Oraita, you can't. It's not mandatable. And if it's dependent on the mitzvahs, so why are they going crazy? They're just upset. Okay, I understand. Politically, but they're not arguing politically. They're arguing Eretz Yisrael Shelanu, and this is our land, and how can they take it away?
No, but to extend it, what Mr. Katz was saying is that we already know that there's a certain part of the land that is Kadosh because of the Babylonian return.
Right.
What he's saying, though, is that the other land, not talking about the land that's being so much in dispute, but the land that Israel got in 1948, because it was given by the rest of the world to Israel, wouldn't that extend to that land the same kedusha that was given at the time of Babylonia and that Israel was allowed to?
I don't think so. I think that it was only Ole Babel. Because there was a baiting at the time and there was an established Jewish community. That's an interesting question. I'll leave that as an open question. I'm not authoritative.
I was wondering.
Write that down. Write that down. It's a good question. It's a question I'll have to investigate a little farther. But I'm not authoritative enough to answer that question. But obviously, I'm not going to be hanging. There is obviously another side to the story. Okay? So what do all the people say? I'll tell you exactly what they say. Turn page 5. This is a shiur. This is a part of a monograph put together by Rav Arieli. Rav Arieli is the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Beit El. Okay? Plus, they have an amazing website called yeshiva.or.il, where you can basically download more or less all this stuff. Plus, we have online shiurim. You have to speak in Hebrew, though. It's all Hebrew stuff, but it's amazing what these people put out in Israel today.
And they have audio shiurim?
Oh, sure, big time audio. If I could do it, they could do it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. There's also another, YU actually has a lot of audio shiurim also. I think it's called torahweb.org or something like that. There's so much good material out there for people to have. So Rav Arieli first outlines the Tosfos, the position of Tosfos and the Rambam. But then he says, but there's another position. And thankfully, it's our good old friend, our old friend, the Ramban, Nachmanides. Ramban is, I would say, the father of religious Zionism, the we'll call him the medieval father of religious Zionism. Who would you say is the modern father of religious Zionism? Anybody know? Religious Zionism. Yeah. No. Even before Rav Kook. Well, not maybe Rav Kook probably. Yeah. I always consider, I mean, in my Rav Kook probably, I would say that. I always, since I'm learning it, I always thought think of Rav Teichel as the father of religious Zionism, because he wrote the book on, you know, on spiritual Zionism, on the return to Zion, but probably Rav Kook also. But if you think about it, the authority that really everybody builds on is Ramban. What? Ramban is the weight, the anchor that everybody leans on. Because you have a Rambam. So if you have a Rambam, there's nothing else to talk about. Except, of course, if you have a Ramban, Nachmanides. Shez Rav Ariely. So there was a book, I need my sheet for a second because I wrote something down over here. No, I need this sheet because I wrote something down on one of these sheets. You're still writing? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want to page
them. Okay. Good. One second. There's a book called, here we are, The Kaftor Vaferach. Kaftor Vaferach was written by Rav Ishtori Haparchi. He lived in the 13th century. I couldn't find any more information for you, but he wrote a book called The Kaftor Vaferach, which was obviously a Rishon. And there was also another opinion mentioned by the Ramban. So if you'll read with me, I'll read it for you in Hebrew. I did not, I'm sorry, I have time to translate. Says Rav Ariely, Hakaftor Vaferach cholek al hatosfo, he argues with the tosfo, he says, it isn't just mitzvos or nothing. Remember, the Rambam said, either mitzvos or nothing. So the Kaftor Vaferach says, no, there's two dinim. There's one, kedushah shgulit shel ha'aretz. There's an inherent, like Eddie called it, protective kedusha. A shgula, what's a shgula? What? No. Shgula. That's a shgula. Dov, how would you translate shgula? Could you say shgulit? Like a... No. The word is escaping me. I'm a little tired. There's a... I don't know. A shgula, okay. In Kedusha, there's a holiness, an inherent holiness of the land. And then bet, kedusha kibush. Then there's also the kedusha of conquering. Gvulot ha-kedusha shgulit. So the borders, what are the borders of this type of holiness? Hein elu shetzavinu behavtacha shenitna la-Abraham avinu. What are the borders of the divine ordained holiness of the land of Israel? That's what God promised to Abraham avinu. So he says, dine yishuv eretz Yisrael ukvura ba'aretz mityachazim aleihem. Want to be buried in Israel? The land, the mitzvah of settling the land of Israel, they all apply in those areas. Lu'umadzo, on the other hand, kedusha rishona u'shnia. Remember we talked about the original holiness and the second holiness. Shekedushatan, he kedushat kibush. Their holiness derives from kibush, from conquering. Mityachasot u'dinei tumot u'masot u'shvit. So that aspect refers to all the mitzvahs. Uliyeter mitzvah tatzliyot ba'aretz, shenitchayvu ketotza'a min ha-kibush. So there are two holinesses. Holiness A is the aura, the spirituality, the holiness of the land of Israel. So the spirituality and holiness of the land of Israel, it exists. God liked that place. He liked it before he gave it to us. He likes it now, whether we have it or not. So if God likes that place, says the Kaftor Vaferach, then God says, first of all, you want to be buried in Israel? You're buried where God likes. You want to settle the land of Israel? It's wherever God likes. Now, what about doing the mitzvos in the land of Israel? In order to consider them, you're obligated in mitzvos, they have to have the second kind of kedusha, which is kedusha kibush, which is the kedusha of the holiness of conquering. Okay. Aval le'etzem kedushat ha'aretz ha'shgulit ha'kibush lo ma'alev lo marid. Says the Kaftor Vaferach, but the inherent holiness, whether you conquer it or not, makes a difference. I'm on the fifth line, third word on the line. This doesn't make a lot of sense. Would you think for a minute that after, let's say, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beit HaMikdash, ha'avot shenigruu b'ma'arat ha'machpela hayu kvurim b'chutz la'aretz, b'glash shebat la'ar k'dusha rishona, where's Avraham Avinu buried? He's buried in Ma'arat ha'machpela. Where's that? In Hebron, right? So as soon as the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so therefore Avraham Avinu is buried in Oak Park. He could have gone to Chesed Sholemesh. Does anybody think that?
No.
So that what must that mean? But in Hebron, at the time, you could not take off Truma. Because there was no mitzvot to lo yibaris. It was batel. The kedusha was gone. So says, there must be two types of kedusha. There is the kedusha of the mitzvot, and then there's the kedusha segulit, the inherent, I don't know, I can't think of a word. Okay, the inherent segula holiness. Destiny? We'll have to look it up. It's a good question. Okay. V'chein, one second. V'chein tamua, it seems unusual. Lama ratzei Yaakov avinu likaver ba'aretz? Why would Yaakov want to be buried in the land of Israel? Hari adayin lo nitkatsha. There is no Israel. According to the Rambam, Israel doesn't exist. Israel only exists to do the mitzvos. No mitzvos, no land, no nothing. Ala v'adai tzarich lomar, you have to say, it has an inherent holiness, an inherent sanctity, unrelated, independent of conquering. This is also the opinion of the Ramban in his comments on the Sefer HaMitzvot. HaRamban moneh bein mitzvot haTorah et haMitzvah shenichtavenu lareshet et haAretz. There's a very, very, very famous machloket, an argument between the Rambam and the Ramban. In his list of mitzvot, the Rambam never lists the commandment to conquer the land of Israel, to inherit this, to settle the land of Israel. He doesn't list it. It's not one of the mitzvot. Comes along the Ramban, goes crazy, and says, it's not possible that settling the land of Israel shouldn't be a mitzvah. So in his list, he says, you have to inherit the land. You're not allowed to leave the land of Israel in desolation for other people, for other nations. Kolomar, meaning, mitzvah zu kolelet and mitzvah kibush ha'aretz v'yishuvah. But this mitzvah includes the settling of the land and also conquering it. Ugvulot ha'mitzvah ledat ha'Ramban. So what are the borders of this mitzvah according to Ramban? So you can say the borders are only the borders of the land of, you know, of Babel? No. What are the borders? The borders of Kibush Haaretz is the entire thing. And this is where you get your answer. Nimtzai flow, so we see, Mitzvah Yishuv Haaretz, the mitzvah of settling the land, kolelet et kol gvulot ha'avtecha. It includes all of the borders, kishita ta'kaftor v'afera. So basically, anyone who's going to believe that it's a mitzvah to settle the land of Israel, and especially anyone who's going to believe that it's a mitzvah to settle in Gaza, and these people are for Brenta, you know, believers in this, because if, you know, between you and me, and, you know, when I settle in the land of Israel, I'm not so for Brenta. I mean, you can settle in Yerushalayim, you can settle in Haifa, you can settle in any one of these places, you know. It's wonderful. That's Yishuv Haaretz also, but these guys know, you know. I got to go to the most far-flung place and settle it and hold on to it. These people are big-time Rambanics. They base their whole worldview on the Ramban. Because otherwise, according to the Rambam, is there a mitzvah to live in Gaza? Not at all. Is there a mitzvah to go settle the land of Israel per se? No. If it helps you do the mitzvah, it's great. If it doesn't help you do the mitzvah, it's not. So now, actually, in the Emba Banu Shnecha, he turns cartwheels to explain how the Rambam really, I mean, the Zionists will tell you that the Rambam also thought it was a mitzvah. But the reason the Rambam doesn't list it as a mitzvah is because the Rambam often doesn't list mitzvahs that are prerequisites to other mitzvahs. For example, is there a mitzvah to build a sukkah for sukkahs? Is it a mitzvah to build a sukkah?
Yeah.
Where in the Torah does it say it's a mitzvah to build a sukkah? Right. There's no mitzvah explicit in the Torah to build a sukkah. But if you don't build one, right, you can't leave it up all year round because then it's not a sukkah. And if you don't build one, you certainly ain't going to sit in it. Right. So does the Rambam have to say is a mitzvah to build a sukkah? No. It's inherent. It's understood.
Oh, I see.
So, is there a mitzvah to take off tumos and maseros? Is there a mitzvah to leave the land fallow in the seventh year? Yes.
Where can you do it?
So does the Rambam have to say that you have to inhabit the land of Israel? Of course not. Because it's inherent. It's obvious. That's what they'll tell you.
Okay.
A lot of people don't buy it, but that's what they'll tell you. So, but everybody agrees, according to the Ramban. Ramban says explicitly in many cases, in many places, the Ramban, especially around this area of the Chumash, around Kedoshim, Achremos, Kedoshim, Emor, is very powerful, strong, really strong about Eretz Yisrael, about the Kedusha of the land. So the Ramban himself says, A, there's a mitzvah to conquer the land, there's a mitzvah to settle the land, and anywhere in the borders and the boundaries that God promised Avraham Avinu, that's a mitzvah. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. So, if the Stackers would go to Wadi El-Arish and open in Stackerville, right, according to the Ramban, they're fulfilling a mitzvah. And this is really I'll put it this way, in the religious Zionist camp, the Ramban's view is really the accepted worldview. And that's what they follow. So you'll ask them, well, is it the land of Israel? So they'll say, first of all, for the lettuce that you buy from Gush Katif, not necessarily. It's a suffix, it might be Dirabanan, they could grow it on the seventh year. So say, oh, how could it be? And you're, on the one hand, you're saying it's not Israel, but you're saying it is Israel? That's exactly right, because exactly what the Ramban said. For mitzvos, everybody agrees that it wasn't part of the second conquering. But did God promise it to Avraham Avinu?
Yes.
Is it land that God likes?
Yes.
Does it have holiness?
Yes.
According to the Ramban, according to the Kafar HaKerach, yes it does. So according to the Ramban, the way he says it, how does he say it? He says, the way he writes it is, V'lo na'azvena, it's a very strong language. The beginning of the line, probably the eighth line. V'lo na'azvena l'shmama b'yadzulatenu min ha'umot. We should not leave it. It's part of the mitzvah. It isn't just conquering it. You can't abandon it as desolate to be left in the hands of other nations. I just described for you. What did I just describe for you?
It's going to happen.
It's exactly what's going to happen. And now you start to understand why it be, aside from all the political, aside why religiously it becomes so painful. Here the Ramban says it's a mitzvah d'oraita to inhabit a land and the land of Israel that God loves and to ensure that it remains in Jewish hands. And now these Jews are being told, you have to violate a mitzvah. We're gonna. It's like I said, what if I came to Evan Rice? Evan, you just had bread. Right? Is that bread? It's a mitzvah deal rice for you to bench. I'm going to tape your mouth shut and not permit you to bench. Are you crazy? That's not religious rice. It's a religious fear. It's a mitzvah deal rice. I have to bench. I'm going to make sure you build the sukkah. I'm going to physically prevent you from going into the sukkah. That's a mitzvah deal rice. There you have Ramban described a mitzvah deal rice of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and ensuring that it doesn't go back into non-Jewish hands. And now you're telling me the government that these people support, that the Jewish government is going to force them to violate the Steer Raisa. That's a pretty painful thing to happen. So is Gaza part of the land of Israel? It was promised to Abraham Avinu. Is there Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? We believe that there is. And that makes giving it up all the more difficult and all the more painful. Okay.